Hello, everyone. Amy Anthony here of NYC Aromatica and the Essential Aromatica podcast. I haven't had an episode where it's just me giving a kind of rambling and brain dumpy kind of vibe, but this is going to be that time right now. And I have something that's been on my mind, and I've been in correspondence with a lovely individual named Katrin, who's based in Switzerland. And this individual, I'll share a little bit about Katrin, but the heart of this brief episode is going to just highlight something that is on a lot of our minds. And I know the word intersectionality has been pretty popular lately, but this is the intersection of what aromatherapy really does when we're working with essential oils, especially. We're not working with synthetics and stuff like that, synthetic fragrance oils, but the intersection of aromatics, specifically essential oils and aromatherapy, and how this is impacting so much of us on so many levels. And we know this, but I think a lot of us can forget about it. Folks that aren't deep into aromatherapy don't think about this. They just think scent. This is a bit of a soapbox, I guess, but that scent doesn't enter us and penetrate us, that there's neurology, there's synapses being excited, there's molecules going into the bloodstream and docking on receptors, and there's a lot, there's like the medical side, and then the, you could say more, I don't like to say woo-woo side, but the softer side, the side of empirical evidence and experience. Not to say that science isn't that as well, but there's the personal professional practice in working with softer, more qualitative ways, and then there's the quant side. And the argument here is there's the intersection and there's the and. So really looking at how aromatherapy and working with essential oils, we can work with very physically, topically, but also knowing that there's always the intersection of the whole person, the spirit, the soul, the emotions, the mental impact. And that's the intersection. And one place, if you draw a nice Venn diagram, a really lovely Venn diagram, there is an intersection, and that's emotions. And emotions are bubble up. It could be that you're really hungry and that creates an emotion, or there could be something that's in the mind that creates an emotion. And the emotions are a way to say, hey, wake up, notice. And one thing that really impacts emotions can be scent, scent perception, recall memory, all sorts of things. And within that layer, there's the, oh, I love that. I like that. And there's a lot to say for that, that I often try to challenge myself to get over, like, oh, that smells pretty, or I don't like that way that smells, and just to get over it and sit with the aroma to really notice what's happening in my whole person, but in the body. Like, literally, does it make my heart feel different? Am I noticing a sinking feeling into the body? And this is something that Katrin contacted me about, because she is, I'm not going to share personal information really to respect her privacy, but she is a physiotherapist and she works in a rehabilitation clinic in orthopedics and neurology. And she is she's a professional aromatherapist as well. And there's the integration of aromatherapy with her practice. And she shared with me that she has a massage oil that she works with clients, and it's for pain, really indicated for pain, but there's the level of it smells really wonderful. And she has great feedback on this beautiful blend that she has. The oils are in a 2% dilution. So nothing, you know, sometimes we're taught we could go to 5% dilution, even 10%, or like, this is 2%, you know, which is lovely. Kind of just standard, not just, it's standard aromatherapy practice, 2%, 2.5 to 3%. This isn't indicated for pain in her carrier. And she's a physiotherapist, so she knows like what can feel really good on the body. So sweet almond carrier oil, lovely carrier oil. And her core oil, which not surprisingly is for pain, is spike lavender. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful essential oil. And that's a segue. If you're looking to learn more about lavenders, I have an entire class where you spend time with me. It's video by the plants I have in my yard. And we geek out about lavender and some other plants like chamomiles, but I digress. I'm sharing this because Katrin, myself, and many others, like, there's a real focus on the science, which we need. But that hardcore, give me the evidence and all this, whereas you also want to sit and say, hey, can you just sit with that smell, that blend, that single botanical or a blend of it, and sit and tell me, take a breath, breathe, and now start working with the oil. And why don't we do this together right now? Right next to me, I have a scent strip with balsam fir and corkbark fir on the single beautiful scent strip. And you just take in the molecules. And we're not here to judge, which it's powerful to encourage your clients or who you're working with, like, oh, how do you feel? Tap in. But the goal here is to be the observer. That's it. You are the observer of yourself, and to encourage that with others. We try to keep the judgment away and be the observer and notice. Breathing, yes, you could say placebo. Of course, if you take deeper breaths, there's shifts, but it's more than that. I have these molecules that are interacting with me. And part of the challenge is, of course, you'll be reminded of, the forest or memories of somebody or a place. And you go beyond that. You don't discard it. You honor that and you say, oh, guess what? I'm going to go a little deeper. And you keep being with the molecules. They come off the scent strip, out of the bottle. Put it on a ceramic dish and let the evaporation happen. And you just breathe and notice and take notes. And this is the most simplest thing in the world to do. But as human beings, and I'm pausing because I just got, of course, the chemistry changes, the evaporation rate's different, so the dry down is different when you smell, and it's fun to notice that, right? Everything has a molecular weight, different evaporation rate, etc. But just sit, pause, listen, and like I was saying, this is the easiest thing to do, but as humans, we like to make it so complicated. No, I need to do clinical trials of people sitting around smelling sweet orange off scent strips to see blah, blah. I don't think so. I mean, there might be an argument for that. It could be fun to do a couple really controlled experiments and observations. But you know what? What's really that getting us? As practitioners, as enthusiasts, it's really nice just to sit and smell. And that's a gift. And you just notice what's happening. What's that personality of the plant doing? How is it coming through to you? And generally, it could be the same personality is there, and there'll be different emotions and memories and things. But in the end, it's all about that plant and that plant's chemistry, where it lived, how that oil was in that plant. Realizing, of course, when you distill, there's chemical changes. So what you're smelling from the essential oil is not the same as in the plant, of course. But you get the point. There's all these little details we can really go blah, blah, blah about. But I think my point is made. I have a video on my website, How to Smell an Essential Oil. I have it mentioned in other places. I'm not the only person that talks about this stuff. It's not like this is a new breakthrough. But I know it's important to reiterate from time to time. Earlier today, I was having a conversation that included how you have to keep things fresh. Like, the material is always there. Lavender is going to be lavender. And a lot of the aromatherapy literature will not change. And we have a lot of great people that have done things before us, and they're still doing it. And it's just fresh perspectives, maybe some new research, but people that were working with aromatic plants hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, were feeling and experiencing likely the same things, acknowledging that, you know, with epigenetics and all, things evolve. But I'd like to imagine that Lavandula spicata, or spike lavender, kind of doing the same thing it was doing now in Katrin's beautiful oil as it was doing, you know, 1,000 years ago, if someone was working with that plant in a more rudimentary way, because technologies change and insights. And as I part ways on this new moon time, I'm still loving the new moon to new moon and honoring that within my daily life. I want to just go through a few points that I have for this episode. And if you can just envision, I'd like to make graphs and charts, but I'm looking at something in front of me and it's outlaid. I have written spirit plus mind, and I have a little line going down to the right of that, and then to the other side of that line is body and soul. So it's like we have the separation of the mind and the body, right? And we have kind of spirit associated with mind and body associated with soul. And to bridge those two, I have, with an indicating graphic, mood. How mood and emotions bridge the mind and the body. And when we are in touch with our emotions, we don't attach to them ideally. I mean, I do. I think we can all be guilty of that. Attaching to our anger or our joy, or like the middle is always the really, really sweet spot, right? But paying attention to mood and mind, that's a lot of information to say, oh, this is happening, what needs to be looked at or addressed. And I have an article on my website about you are not your emotions are not you. I'll put a link in the show notes. Again, spirit and mind, we're really looking at thought, and with aromatherapy about liking and disliking. If you present a scent to someone and they go, ugh, it's like sometimes I just want to say, okay, please pause with me and let's breathe. And let's breathe this in together and try to not associate disliking or liking and just observe. So that mind, the thought, the liking, disliking, culture telling you what you should like or dislike. Also within the mind is the scent detection. Not just a memory, that in itself is a memory, the detection. But it could just be like, I smell apple, versus putting a narrative on that of, oh, grandma's apple pie, right? So there's a real distinction between smell detection and memory association. Of course, they're intertwined. This is why the Venn diagram is a lovely way to represent this. And on the other side is the body soul. It's the same sphere. We're really looking at a sphere here, like the yin and the yang, right? So we have the yang we just spoke about, and then we're looking at the yin of the body, the soul, the feeling, the deep knowing, the empirical way of looking at things, feeling, observing, getting into that body. And this is where really deep engagement can be. I'm not saying one is better than the other. This is why we need both. This is why we talk about the whole the yin and the yang, and you could talk about the quote masculine, feminine aspects and whatever verbiage we want to put around that. This is where scent reception could really be looked at. So I was talking about in the mind, there's the smell detection, the analyzing, oh, I smell apple versus the feeling of apple scent that has a lot of esters in it. Smell reception is the yin receptivity, the being there, not being a doormat. You're aware, you're smelling, you're taking the molecules in, and you are smelling and receiving as the yin aspect. And you may have emotions come up, but it's our jobs to let those emotions, we notice them and we say, okay, I see you, but I'm going to go back to this apple and receive apple and ask, where does it go in my body? Because that's one of the key things in a lot of therapies, to my understanding, is when you are going through real terrible things, I mean, so many like really bad things, when you can pay attention to your body and you could say breathe into something or get in touch and you can label it saying my heart's racing, okay, let's breathe into that, etc. And there's many tools to work with here. That's not the reason for this episode. But my point, I hope it's coming through, is that embodiment. And we look at the whole, the spirit, mind, where the mood and emotions bridge those with the body, soul, all one thing. And we appreciate the culture, the like, dislike, and smell detection and memories, which are bridging with that mood, because it's a lived experience, our lives. We really appreciate that feeling. And not just new feeling, literally feeling. Does it feel mushy, gooey, hot, cold, flaccid, sharp? So the engagement, that receptivity is really important to smelling an oil and being with an oil. So when I will bring it back to and close the episode with my ongoing correspondence with Katrin, shout out to Switzerland, going back to this beautiful blend she makes for folks with a real clinical approach to pain and care in that sense, but also how she and her clients, to my understanding, and patients are really enjoying the whole experience that this massage oil, this pain oil, is giving them, which includes that making them feel good. So I hope I said a lot there in about 15 minutes. This is an important topic, you know, like the intersection here of the mood and the minds, but, and not to get carried away within the mood and emotions, but to really appreciate the vast lived experiences we have in our human lives every day. And this is also when I'm speaking like this, I'm speaking to myself, because I always have to remind myself, like, get out of that mood, or what are you doing? Like, to really try to find the Goldilocks, you know, just right, the middle path, the not so, extreme. And one of my hot topics that I've just been really getting into, which is part of this intersection conversation, is neutral affect. There is nothing wrong with being neutral. And on that note, I didn't even know that I'd say that in the affiliation right now between my friend Katrin in Switzerland and neutrality is, I love that. That is so cool, so funny. I love the way that looped. So, stay in touch. If this is on your mind, my website has several resources for, again, how to smell an oil. Then that article I mentioned about you are not your emotions. Your emotions are not you. And the next time you're with someone and there's aromas around and there's that reactivity to like, I hate that or I love that. It's like, oh, well, why? Let's try to find the middle path and see what that information is, because scent is merely information. So on that note, thanks for joining me. Happy February, happy new moon time. And until the next time, ciao for now.